What's going on, shooting the sports-ish and NHL fans alike? It is Jake Senholz and Malik Jackson back with you for only episode 3, as we just kind of, by happenstance, ended up taking a week off there. I got busy, Malik got busy. And with the end of football season, you know, going on, different Super Bowl parties, things like that. A lot of stuff just happened, and all of a sudden a week went by. And anyway, we are back here for episode 3. Malik and I were kind of talking about maybe switching up the format. Our first couple of episodes have been rather long, about an hour and a half plus. So we're thinking about maybe chopping those in half and coming at you maybe twice a week from now on. We'll see. If you have any feedback, if you like the long form podcast, let us know. Maybe we can keep one long episode, one short episode. I don't know. We're going to play around with it and see, as we obviously still have a ton of time left in this NHL season. But it feels good to be back. Malik, how you doing, my friend? I'm sitting over here with a very itchy face because I'm clean shaven for the first time in a long time, as far as, you know, a regular razor, like shaving cream, regular razor goes. I just shaved for the first time in forever, so my face is very, very itchy. So I'm kind of thankful that this episode is not on video yet. But anyway, that's I guess, how I'm doing in this, what is it, Wednesday? Yeah, this Wednesday afternoon. Malik, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Jake. I cannot complain, sir. And yes, to the viewers and listeners out there, not even viewership yet, but this man, Jake, definitely has a clean-shaved face, I would have to say, looking very, very young. If the, you know, the people out there could give a viewership, you know, it's coming in the field.
They'll be able to see us soon enough. But yeah, usually I have, you know, no free ads, but Phillips Norelco is like my best friend. I love my Phillips Norelco. I use that thing, gets you down pretty much clean shaven. But it just doesn't quite give you that, like, all the way down to the skin type glow that a razor and shaving cream does. It also doesn't get that same kind of aftershave itch that, you know, shaving cream and a razor does. So I'm sitting over here. I'm going to try not to scratch my face too often here during the duration of this podcast. But Malik, what you used to have a pretty thick beard at one point, didn't you? What do you got going on right now?
I actually have still a playoff beard ever since the Capitals lost. I've been growing a beard for a very long time now, which is crazy. But, yeah, it's still actually growing and looking like a caveman a little bit. I'm letting it air out, you know, giving it some breathing room. But, you know, I've been pretty good, though, staying consistent with working out. And I'm really, really excited about these hockey games. And, Jake, as you always allude to sports betting, I actually placed a couple of bets on Gambet DC, that newest app in DC, and it didn't work out for the best.
Yeah, I've been meaning to ask you about that, because you hit me up and you were like, hey, I got a couple bets I want you to place and like some parlays and whatever, and I was like, yeah, let me know. And then you never got back to me, so I assumed you did it on your own or you changed your mind or whatever. But I guess give us, before we jump into the NHL podcast, give us a few bets that you bet on in the last couple of weeks. And have you made it down to the, what is it, Scotia, not Scotia Bank, excuse me. I got the
Capital One
Arena. Yeah, I got the names of the NHL divisions on my mind. That's why I said Scotia. you said you were going to make it down and check out their sports book. Did you ever head on down there?
So, no, I got lazy on myself, Jake, and I just figured I'd download the app. You know, it's a pretty dope app, and a couple of my actually close friends been telling me to get involved in the app, but I was just telling myself, no, I should just go down to the sportsbook location, which is at Capital One, because it's literally in the middle of D.C., and, you know, for people who take the metro here in the metropolitan area, they know that, you know, it's not a far trip at all. And I just said, forget about it. I'm just not even going to go. So I just basically downloaded the app, and now I placed a couple of bets. Of course, I listen to you and always bet on the Lightning and take a couple of minuses. But those pluses didn't work out for me. I actually bet on the Red Wings. And they flailed out on me against the Florida Panthers, and it didn't work out in my favor for a couple of other picks that I had
either. You must have just picked the wrong game, because the Lightning did just beat the Panthers 4-1 the other day. So if you would have been on the, or excuse me, the Red Wings just beat the Panthers, not the Lightning. The Red Wings just beat the Panthers 4-1 the other day, and I believe they were like plus 260 on the money line or something. So that would have been a nice little bet for you right there.
I know.
But those plus money bets, dude, that's why they're plus money. They're the underdog. They're going to be harder to bet. But, like, I don't know if you saw on Twitter or not, I haven't been betting basketball pretty much at all this season because I've been doing so well on football and hockey, and then every time I bet basketball, I just seem to give the money right back. So I just haven't been betting basketball. But yesterday, randomly, I was looking at the board, and I was like, you know what? I love Notre Dame as an underdog to Duke because Duke has just been horrible. And I was like, Notre Dame is getting a good payout. And I've been betting West Virginia all season long, even though, you know, it's been a struggle sometimes. They've screwed me over sometimes. But they were playing against Texas Tech, and I haven't trusted Tech at all this season either. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to parlay these two underdogs together, plus take them both straight. I think one was plus 215. The other one was like plus 260.
And they I saw it.
Yeah, so I hit them both straight, and then, you know, you parlay them together, and I had a plus 800 two-team underdog parlay. So I had a pretty darn good day yesterday.
I was about to say, well, look, there you go. See, I did a parlay with the multiple teams yesterday. So this is who I had. I had Vegas. I picked Chicago to defeat the Stars, which is a plus. It was like plus 180 or something like that.
And that was everybody else was on the other side of that bet. I got screwed over by Dallas, and I saw a lot of people at the website that I work for, PickCity.com. A lot of people got screwed over by Dallas. So you were actually on the right side of that one.
Yeah, that one was good. But this is what I did wrong. I did the exact two goals for Edmonton.
Ooh.
And it was like a plus, like, you know, like 1,500 or something like that.
Yep.
And, of course, the Ottawa Senators scored a tipping goal, of course. And then I also did another exact two goals. It was a plus like 1,600 for Calgary at the time because they were beating Winnipeg. So I just went on and tried to throw that in. And then what happens? What happens? The guy tips it out. It banks off the wall. It's going ricocheting, going towards the empty net. And I think it was Spezza, or I can't forgot his name. But he hustled back and got the puck, bro. And it just killed that whole entire parlay that I had.
Yeah, that's heartbreaking, dude, because that sounds like it would have been a pretty awesome paying parlay.
Yes, sir. And I only put up 10. And then, of course, Detroit lost two yesterday to the Florida Panthers, 2-1. And that was the one that kind of costed me big time.
Yep. So yesterday I was on the right side of basically every bet that I made except my one mistake. And to any rookie bettors out there, if you've got 4, 5, 6 parlays going, just make sure at least one or two of them doesn't have, you know, that not all six include the same team. Basically, I've been screwed over by that in football. Now I've been screwed over by it in hockey because, you know, I wasn't thinking, and I put Dallas in 5 out of my 6 parlays. So, you know, even though I hit every other bet in the parlay, Dallas ended up costing me 5 of those 6 parlays. But I was on the Oilers in regulation yesterday. I was on Vegas money line, which got sweaty for a minute there in the third period, but they ended up pulling it out. And then, or Vegas in regulation and money line, excuse me. And then I was on Tampa Bay, or Florida Panthers. Wow, I keep saying Tampa Bay. I just got Tampa Bay on the mic because I'm sitting here staring at their season stats because we're going to talk about them first. But anyway, it was the Florida Panthers money line. So I was on all those. And then I was on the Kings as an underdog, a slight underdog to San Jose. And they ended up losing in a shootout. So a couple tough losses for me. But it was the same thing with Dallas. They had a chance with 30 seconds away to put it away. A wide open net. The puck was sitting in the crease. All it needed to be was poked across the goal line, and they just couldn't pull it out. But, man, even with the Kings losing, if I would have hit Dallas yesterday, it would have been quite the day for me. I would have been up a bazillion units.
For sure. Man, dang. You know, that's always how it goes, though. It's always like one of those intermediate picks that somebody just comes out of nowhere. It's kind of like with the Grizzlies in the NBA or like the Suns, you know, those Pacer teams, like they come out of nowhere and just like beat one of the best teams like the Nuggets or the Milwaukee Bucks. You know, they just come out of nowhere and have a night, you know, and that's just what happens.
That's happened to the Bucks a lot this season. I have not enjoyed betting on the Bucks this season. They have not been great at covering the spread, and they've been losing to teams that they just shouldn't lose to. But the New Orleans Pelicans are a great bet right now. They just keep killing people. And I don't know if you saw the stat or not, but the I believe the Utah Jazz it was, yeah, with Rudy Gobert and company. They are 15-1-1 in their last 17 games against the spread. So that means, you know, if you would have bet them the last 17 games, you would have won 15 times, which is nuts. I mean, especially in the NBA, that's a crazy streak.
Yeah, bro, they're like 20-5. And guess what? They haven't started 20-5 since John Stockton and the mailman went to the finals. And 96, 97. So just take a guess of how dominant this team is actually looking. So to your point, shoot, take the spread. Why not? I mean, they're just going off right now. They're going bonkers, leading into the team that you just alluded to, talking about the Tampa Bay Lightning. They're going bonkers, and they're just going off. And this is without Nikita Kucherov. I mean, this is just crazy. It's crazy how good they are.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. Like, you know, the Lightning basically the last 3 or 4 years have consistently been the best team with the best record, making playoff pushes, and they do it without one of their best players every single year. You know, so either it's Stamkos is out or they were missing Braden Point for a lot of the playoffs last year. Now they're without Kucherov. It's like this team has never been fully healthy, and they just keep on dominating. So, like, imagine if they could get a full season with everybody, you know? It's just – it's crazy. It's scary. And you know, Kucherov's coming back strong next year. So if they end up making another push this year, winning another cup, I mean, they're not going away anytime soon. So
no, sir. No, sir. Not at all. And you know what's crazy? I want to hit on this because you are a goalie. I mean, this guy, Andre Vasilevsky, is doing the darn thing. And when we talk about the goalies of the week, you know, the attendee of the week, I just wanted to hit on this guy right now because we're talking about the Lightning. He is playing outrageously good. And, I mean, we knew how good he was, but he's still young, isn't he, Jake? I mean, he's pretty young.
So, oh, yeah. I mean, he's, I believe, a year older than I am. I think he's 26. I think he's about 26 years old. And he's been in the league for 5 years already. I mean, he's a stud, dude. Every time I write him, I call him the Russian stud. Like, he's amazing.
He definitely is, And it's just crazy to see how consistent he's been. I mean, with his save percentage getting better every single year, and, you know, probably the starts are going to continue to go up and eclipse, you know, probably like 28 to 30 games. Well, not this year, of course, but if it was in a regular season year, he would be up there in, you know, goalie starts. But it's just like he does not stop. It's kind of like how Ovechkin, you know, the Russian machine doesn't stop. It's like he's one of those Russians that is pretty spectacular.
Yeah, they're built different over there, dude. They are built different for sure. And we're going to talk a lot more about all of the teams coming up here, but we can start right there with the Lightning. The last thing I wanted to say about betting before we get off of it is, you know, follow my Twitter at SunHolesOnSport. I've been giving out tons of free picks. I also have a betting strategy that's worked very well for me. So far, it is 6-0 this season when I've used this betting strategy. And it's not something that you can bank on every single week, but when the spots are there, you got to take them. Basically, it's when, you know, a good team or a team that's hot is playing a team that is not good or a team that's struggling in back-to-back days. Usually it helps if you're playing actual back-to-back days, like the Oilers just played the Senators in back-to-back days. But last week, the Lightning also played with one day in between. And my strategy is this. When you find a spot that you like, the first night, hammer the better team in regulation. So last week, take Tampa Bay in regulation. They ended up winning 5-1. And then here's the thing. Either you go back and you hammer it again. If they win, then the next game, you just bet them again in regulation. If they lose that first game, you know for a fact they're going to come back and win that second game. So even if they lose that first game, then you just bet it 10 times as big. We haven't had a loss yet while I've been using this system, but it's 4-0 in the last 2 weeks. Last week, we went 2-0 in Tampa Bay regulation games. This week, just yesterday and the day before, we went 2-0 in the Edmonton Oilers in regulation. And it's crazy how much better of a payout you're going to get. Last week, the Lightning were laying like 300 and 320. And then you take them in regulation, you get them at like minus 135. So their value like doubles. And all they have to do is win in regulation. So 6-0 on the season, 4-0 the last 2 weeks. If that confuses you a little bit, hit me up on Twitter. I will explain it again. But basically, you know, like I said, in this system, we don't even really care if the bet loses the first night because we're coming back 10 times as hard the next night, and it's been proven to work. So that's kind of what I'm doing, one of my strategies, free strategies that I've thrown out there. And, again, just follow me on Twitter at @StenholzOnSport. I have free plays all the time. You can always tweet me a question on plays. I will let you know. I've said it before on Twitter, too. I think I'm one of the top handicapper NHL handicappers on all of Twitter. I'm consistent. I find winners. We bet big. So don't be afraid to reach out to me on Twitter. And if you end up, you know, cashing with me a few times and you want to support me, you can buy my picks at PickCity.com. $30 for a month. So you're talking $1 a day for my full cards, or $4.99 for a day card, $15 for a week card, whatever you want to do. Just support me. I would appreciate that, and I'll keep feeding you winners. So I guess that's all I got as far as the gambling talk goes. Malik, any final thoughts before I do the ad read here, and then we're going to dive on into talking NHL here?
No, I'm just going to say to the listeners out there, definitely go with Senholz at Sport. At Senholz
On Sport. Yep.
Yeah, excuse me. And check in on his picks, because every time I log into my Twitter, I see him at the top, and it's always him giving out free picks, and he's always hitting. And I have to actually do this maybe myself, you know, a couple of times. That's why I told him. It was kind of, I just went out on the limb with the Gambet DC thing. I just kind of did on my own, but definitely give my brother a listen. And yeah, man, that's pretty much it. Let's get into it.
All right. Yeah. Let's get into it. Yesterday, but just like Malik said, I mean, yesterday alone, I gave out that plus 800 parlay that hit. We hit Edmonton in regulation. We hit Panthers money line. We hit Tampa Bay in regulation, and we hit Golden Knights money line and in regulation. We only lost on the Kings and the Dallas Stars. So pretty much bet the whole slate and ended up coming out way ahead. So yeah, give me a chance, and I promise I'll deliver you some winners. All right, let's dive into it. Of course, first we have to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by the NBA Store. A new year brings the start of a new NBA season. And obviously, we are already, you know, a ways into this NBA season, but you could still suit up with the latest gear to show support for your favorite team. Or maybe, Mike, like Malik, your favorite player now has a new destination. So, hey, even if it's not your favorite team, it's your favorite player. So go buy his jersey, support him. You know, Harden Nets jersey is, you know, just as stylish as a Harden OKC jersey or a Harden Houston jersey. So I don't know, Malik, maybe you're going to end up with all three eventually here, because you can sit there and watch basketball in style thanks to us here at Shooting the Sports-ish, as well as the NBA and Pod Go. We are teaming up with the NBA and Pod Go to bring you, our listeners, up to 75% off on select items. You heard that right, 75% off on select items. Just go to podgo.co/NBA for up to 75% off select items from the NBA store. That's podgo.co/NBA. Since I kind of stumbled there, I'll do it one more time for you. podgo.co/NBA, up to 75% off select items. The NBA, where amazing happens. Quite a bit of NBA talk here in the opening segment for, you know, all things considered, since we are a hockey podcast here. So it's going to be NHL throughout the rest of the segment here. And Malik and I kind of just want to talk about, since we've taken a week off, since there's a good amount of games under every team's belt already, we're going to kind of talk about the standings, going to talk about the teams that are on top of those divisions, what surprises us about those teams, what doesn't. We'll get into a little bit of COVID talk, not much, but obviously the COVID hitting the NHL harder right now than it has at any point of the season thus far. And then we'll wrap up with that attendee of the week. And we've also got a new segment to tease for you as well. But let's start off by talking about the Central Division, which, of course, is now renamed the Discover NHL Central Division. No surprise, the Lightning sit atop the division with a 9-1-1 record. They've got a goal differential of 22, Malik. 22. The next team in that division is the Panthers at 7-1, and their goal differential on the season is 4. 4. And the Lightning have a 22-goal differential, so they are just waxing people. They're on a 6-game win streak. The Panthers actually a pretty pleasant surprise at 7-1-2 this year as well. But again, they've only got that 4-goal differential, so their games have been a lot closer. Blackhawks, surprisingly maybe to most people, me included, sitting at third place in the division with a 6-4-4 record. They're actually on a 3-game win streak of their own. And then things kind of just lumped together in the middle with the Blue Jackets, Hurricanes, Stars, Predators, and Red Wings. Most of these teams have played pretty much the same amount of games. 10 games played is the fewest amount. 14 games played is the most. Malik, anything surprise you thus far throughout this division? I mean, pretty much you and I talked about it. We said it in episode one. This division's going to be pretty boring. It's going to be pretty chalk. I said maybe the Blue Jackets can make some noise. Panthers have a good chance, which is, you know, kind of what we're seeing here. But nobody's going to touch the Lightning, and that's evident. I mean, 22-goal differential, and the next closest is the Stars at 9. I mean, they're just killing everybody in this division.
Absolutely, Jake. I mean, it's just not even going to be a close race, in my opinion. Yes, Florida is playing very well, as you alluded to, and to be 7-1-2 in 10 games played, that's pretty good. And having a +4 goal differential, that's pretty good as well. As you can see, they're playing good on the road at being 3-0-1. So I think the Florida Panthers are maybe one of the teams that can, you know, be second place for a majority of the year. But I do think the Tampa Bay is going to just ultimately just come in first. But again, the Chicago Blackhawks are awesome. They're playing great. As you see with Patrick Kane, he's leading the team in points he's having 10 points, I believe. And he might have more now. I think he had a point yesterday with the assist, but even if not, having him playing at a high level, that was something that was lacking last year. Of course, Jonathan Taves, I think he's injured right now. So of course he has to take on that workload, and who knows? And as you alluded to with the last 4 out of the 8 teams who are left in the division, I think that maybe the Dallas Stars and Carolina may be the teams who will maybe jump up and maybe get to like where the Chicago Blackhawks are at the number 3 in the Discover Central. But I mean, I think that this is a for sure clear cruise for the Tampa Bay teams, as the freaking Tampa Bay Bucks just won the Super Bowl. I think these Tampa Bay teams have the mojo going down there. It's something in the boat, something in the water.
Something in the water off the coast of Florida, that's for sure. I've seen that crazy graphic before, dating all the way back to like 2003 or whatever. Wherever Tom Brady lives or whatever team he's playing for, that like region just has an insane amount of success. And it's, you know, it's been true for Tampa Bay as well. The Rays made the World Series last year. The Lightning won the Cup. The Lightning are the best team again this year. Now the Buccaneers have a Super Bowl. I mean, maybe it's that Tom Brady effect, man. Or maybe it's just something in the water that moved from the Boston area down to Tampa Bay around the same time Tom Brady did. Who really knows? But, you know, you alluded to the Blackhawks being good. And 2 weeks ago, I would have laughed in your face if you said the Blackhawks were really good, dude. They started the season 0-4, and they were losing bad. Their first 3 games of the season, 5-1 loss, 5-2 loss, 5-2 loss. And then they started to string things together. You know, you start the season 0-4, and all of a sudden you're sitting there 6-4-4. That means you're at least been competitive, because, you know, you got 4 overtime losses under your belt now. And you got 6 wins to go along with it. You're sitting at third place in your division. I 100% would have bet against the Blackhawks making a playoff push this year. But who knows, if the Panthers start to fall off and the Hawks can kind of just, you know, maintain that second place in the division, who knows? You know, there's a lot of hockey left, but Blackhawks maybe could make a run. Maybe. But like 2 weeks ago, I would have said they're one of the worst teams. Them and the Red Hawks, I would have said Blackhawks and the Red Wings is what I meant to say. Probably were the worst two teams in the NHL. Can't really say that about the Blackhawks right at this moment.
Yeah, man. And it's crazy that the Detroit Red Wings, I mean, you looked at all their glory years and how great they were through the 90s. And
They've been bad for a long time now, man. It's like once all their once that wave of stars left and recognizable names and like once their goalies stopped wearing weird helmets, like old school helmets, they've just been bad. So it's not going to be a pretty look for the Red Wings and their fans for, you know, quite some time here. I wouldn't think, but who knows? They might have like a Panthers type turnaround or a Canadiens type turnaround. I mean, the Canadiens, and we'll get to them in their whole division soon here, but they have been consistently one of the worst offensive teams in the entire NHL for years and years and years now. I mean, just leaning on Carey Price so heavily, wasting one of the best goalies in the entire NHL. And now all of a sudden this year, they're like fourth in overall scoring. They've got one of the best records. They're like the sixth overall favorite to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, it's something happened in Montreal. And it's whatever they got going on up there, maybe the people in Detroit should, start calling up everybody they know in Montreal and be like, what is happening up there? What's going on? Because we need to turn around like you guys had. I mean, just from last year to this year, Montreal is nuts. And, again, we'll talk about them in just a minute here. But any closing thoughts on the Central Division here?
Nah, I pretty much hit all of the points that I wanted to hit just because I do think that Tampa Bay is just going to absolutely – just destroy this division and continue to be the championship caliber team that we expect them to be and go far in the Stanley Cup playoffs when they come. And that's pretty much it. And as you alluded to again with the Florida Panthers, if they can keep up this high streak and, you know, continue to win games and make it competitive, then maybe I think that the Dallas Stars are going to get better as the games go on, because they were dealing with COVID. They weren't able to play games, and now they're starting to, you know, getting in the mix of being back on the ice and, you know, getting their legs moving and stuff like that nature. But,
I mean, now the Stars did bench their starting goaltender, Anthony Khudobin, for personal reasons, some sort of punishment. They benched him for one game this last week. Didn't really result in much. I think they ended up winning the game that he was sitting out. But they do have the second highest goal differential at 9 behind the Lightning here. So it's not like they're playing horrible hockey. They're just having trouble, you know, finding ways to finish these games. And I think that they have been victims of a shootout loss or two this season as well. So the Stars definitely have potential to get better. I think the Blue Jackets do too, but let me ask you about, you've been keeping up at all what's been happening with Torts and the Blue Jackets, how he's just benching star after star. I mean, they already traded one star away who, you know, in
Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Yeah, Luc Dubois, they already traded him away after he publicly made it known like he didn't really want to be there. Torts kind of made it known that he didn't really want him on the team anymore. He benched him multiple times. They trade him away. And then they get Patrick Laine back, who is a stud by any measure. You know, he's a star in this league, Patrick Laine. Just look at what he's been able to do in the, you know, 5-6 seasons he's been in the NHL. And Laine comes, he plays 3 games, puts up 3 goals over the course of those 3 games. In the 4th game, Torts is benching him. I mean, what's going on? What is happening on the Blue Jackets with the Blue Jackets head coach here, Malik?
I have no idea what Torts is doing, but Torts is Torts. I mean, to be honest with you, but what – to have a 40-goal score on your team and you just bench him, and it's absolutely nuts. He didn't even play in the third period. I think he benched him with, like, six minutes left in the second period, right?
Yeah, it was almost – it was not quite half the game, but it was up there. It was, like, a few minutes away from half the game. He didn't play at all in the third period. And, again, this isn't a guy who, like – came in here with a stinky attitude and he's played 4 games and hasn't put up a point and he's not trying. Like, he put up 3 goals in his first 3 games, dude. What else do you want him to do?
Exactly. It's like he's trying out there, but to not put him out on the ice and blatantly showing that, okay, you know, and I think this is tough to do. I've been seeing on all of the news stations today, they were talking about how Russell Wilson basically, you know, told about how he's tired of getting hit, and people were speculating on saying, well, it's good because he's coming out and saying that he needs more help on the line. But at the same time, when you go against the grain and you go against your team, you know, that in, you know, the friction and the cohesiveness that you have with your teammates is a big thing, especially with your line.
Yeah.
And so it's like, if you have players that's not getting ice time and they're one of your top tier players, who Patrick Laine is, Jake, you put them in the game, you give them ice time. It's like, what are you doing?
Dude, that's a great point that I haven't even thought of. It's like, he's brand new to this team and he's just trying to like learn his line mates and like grow chemistry with his line mates. And you're going to bench him for half the game on his fourth game. Like, that doesn't only hurt him. Like, that hurts the rest of your team. That's a great point, dude. Like, what are you doing? Like, this guy needs as much ice time as possible.
Exactly. I mean, and if you gamers, if there's any gamers out there, if you're playing the new NHL 21 EA Sports, be a pro or my career, it shows you when you get docked minutes, you get minus 500. So come on, man, give me some ice time. You're not going to put me out on the ice. You're not going to give me any type of team chemistry with my line mates. As you know, Jake, it is important. And if you're not giving those the players the time and the space to gain that cohesion, then it will not be a successful ending to the journey.
Right. And I could understand if, like, we all know, you know, Torts is a no-nonsense guy. He doesn't really have that good of sense of humor. He's kind of douchey to the media different times. He doesn't care who the player is, you know, if you're a star or not, he'll sit you down. We know all these things about Torts, and it's almost like he wanted to make sure that Laine knew that, like, this is the kind of coach he was. But it's like, if you want to send a message, sit him down for that last, you know, six minutes of the second period, and then send him out there to see if he learned his lesson for the third period. Like, you don't have to freaking bench him for half a game the first time that you're trying to send a message to him, you know? It's like, I wrote an article about it where it's like, we all know what kind of coach Torts is and what kind of message he's trying to send, but, like, how long are the players going to put up with that, and how long are the players going to respond to that? When he's been there for six seasons now, Malik, he won a personal coaching award, yeah. So, like, good for him. In 2017, he won a coaching award. But as far as team success, they've made the playoffs four times, and they've been bounced in the first round, not even close in any of the – I think they won two games. Maybe they won three games in 2017, the year that he won that award. But they've not even been close to advancing to the second round, and he's been there for 6 years already. So it's like, how much longer is this guy going to have, and his, you know, antics are going to have before it just starts to wear thin on these players?
Absolutely.
I mean – it's I compared it to like a Herb Brooks thing, you know, where it's like Herb Brooks, you know, he brought in that I'm not your friend, I don't care who you are mentality that I was just talking about. But that's over, you know, a 9 month, 10 month period of time with a whole different group of guys who have never played. I mean, some of them played for him before, but just a group of guys who have never really played together, never really played for him. And they all bought in for a short period of time to achieve one goal. Versus when you're talking NHL year after year after year, you're playing with these players that you've been playing or that you've been coaching year after year after year, and you're just like a dick to them all the time, and there's no forgiveness, there's no, you know, there's nothing. And in 6 years, all you have to show for it is first round exits. I mean, eventually players are going to stop responding to that.
Exactly. When you're not seeing the success that he did have once upon a time with the Tampa Bay Lightning, when he had, you know, he's a Stanley Cup winning champion. So when you look at it like that, it's,
yeah,
you know, but it's no excuse for you to go out there and treat your players a certain way because you want to show or prove that, you know, your stubbornness or the way that you want things to be ran a certain way. That's just, you know, it's unprofessional. And to be quite frank with you, I think that Patrick Laine won't give his all. You know, he's going to be like, okay, well, if you're going to treat me like this, then I should I go out and give it you 110%, busting my tail for you. You know, he probably won't even get on back checks some of the time. You know, if it might be a breakaway or something, like, the energy might not be there. And with you doing this, and to your point, Jake, what you said about, you know, shifting off Pierre-Luc Dubois, it's like we just saw that. So if you're going to just be going irate and proving your sternness to us, then, you know, certain things might not go in your favor. And, you know, it is a shortened season. So we'll see how things work out there, man. But
yeah,
that's a good point that you made, Jake.
We'll see, man. We'll see. But you keep driving your best players out of town and you keep getting bounced in the first round. Like, eventually the organization's going to have to look at you, man. And like, I know he's won a Stanley Cup in the past, but how many ex Stanley Cup winning coaches have we seen move on and then never find that same level of success? And they also never like change as a coach because they're like, well, I won a cup, you know, in 2006. Well, it's like, well, guess what? That was 15 years ago, buddy. Like, what have you done since then? So it's like,
yeah,
you know, just because you did something successful 15 years ago doesn't mean that that's the way that it's going to be successful this time around. I don't know. I just like, again, he's obviously a good coach. He's has been a great coach throughout his career. Maybe even if he gets one more cup, he's, you know, Hall of Fame contender, things like that. But it's just, man, the team has not been responding to you. 6 years, 4 first round playoff exits, 2 superstars that don't want to put up with you, teammates that have questions about, you know, well, if that guy's getting benched, you know, I'll for sure get benched. That's the only positive that I can think of, maybe, is like, hey, I'm willing to bench Patrick Laine, even though he just got here and put up 3 goals. So it's like, you guys better be busting your asses, or otherwise I'll bench you too.
Yeah.
But it's like, when you are isolating your best players on your team, and you're sending a message that you've been trying to send for 6 years and it hasn't been working, it's like, maybe the message needs to be changed. But I don't know. We'll see what the Blue Jackets can string together throughout the rest of the season. Right now they're sitting at 6-5-3 with a -6 goal differential. And it's not like they don't have the talent in net. I mean, they got good young goaltenders in net.
That's what I was about to just say, Jake. I mean, they have the talent there, and they definitely have, you know, the capability of moving up in this division, you know, to be somewhat of a front runner with the Tampa Bay Lightning. But if Torts is out here doing and sabotaging the locker room with how he's continuing to do, he kind of tried it with the New York Rangers as well. I mean, when he was the head coach there, you know, showing out with the media, New York media, and, you know, I'm not sure if you've seen the Showtime, or I forgot who it was, but I think it was sort of kind of like Hard Knocks for the NFL, but they had it was for the NHL team, and it was for the New York Rangers or whatever. They had like a documentary, and it just showed how Torts was, you know, being very stern as a head coach. And yes, you need the sternness as a head coach so that people can respect you, but it just comes a certain point in time where it's like, you know, we're both men, you know what I mean, and we're both human, and no one is above, you know, no one is above each other, or whatever your mentality might be. It's not for that, you know, it's not for everybody.
Exactly. So we'll see how it goes, man. I like both, you know, their goalies. I like, I always struggle with obviously Corposalo, but the other name, Elvis, is it Mez? I can never say this name. It's Elvis.
No, I have no idea,
dude. I'm trying to sound it out right now. It is Merzilikins. It's a very foreign name, and I'm having trouble pronouncing it. But anyway, his first name's Elvis, so that's cool. of course, you got Jonas Corposalo, and both those guys are really good. Like, they're good young goalies, dude. So I'm not putting a ton of blame on them here early on in the season, but we'll circle back to the Blue Jackets eventually, you know, down the line in further podcasts. I think Torts is going to be somebody that the whole world of hockey is watching throughout the rest of the season, because it's like, hey, like I said a million times already, 6 years with very little success. I mean, your time might be running thin here, especially after, if you bring in Laine, things don't work out, whatever. So Torts is definitely going to be somebody that we're going to keep an eye on. Moving on to the Mass Mutual NHL East division. This division so far has gone exactly as we saw it, except the Bruins are on top of the Flyers. I had them flip-flopped. You were campaigning for the Capitals potentially winning this division, and it looked like that might have been the case for a long time. Well, at least a couple weeks there. The Caps are now on a three-game losing streak, so they're in a little bit of a hole. But, man, for a minute there, the Caps looked like the best team in the entire NHL. The Flyers have played a lot of competitive games, haven't really lost by a large margin at all this season. They've got a five-plus-five goal differential. The Caps have a minus-one goal differential. And then the Bruins are sitting on top of the division. They have played two less games than the Flyers, one less game than the Capitals. They've got a 12-goal differential. So for a team that started off struggling to score, I mean, the Bruins could not score at all through their first, like, three, four, five games of the season. They've kind of turned it around. Tuukka Rask has been great. They've only allowed 24 goals on the season, giving them a 12-goal differential. So it's not like they're lighting up the scoreboard, but they've only allowed 24 goals, whereas the Flyers have allowed 41 goals and the Capitals have allowed 45 goals. Think about that. The Bruins, in one last game, have allowed 24 goals. The Capitals have allowed 45 goals. Are you worried about the goaltending over in Washington, yeah, Malik?
Yeah, I'm definitely worried right now, but it was because of the first week we did the 10-day of the week, I gave Vitek Vanacek a great.
Yeah, I think you might have jinxed him a little bit there.
Now that we're talking about it, I gave him a great nod, but Peter Louvois, did I pronounce his last name right? Peter Louvois, our head coach, the Capitals head coach.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. So he's been giving him a lot of games. Like, he's been playing them back-to-back because remember that Ilya Samsonov is still in COVID protocol right now. And now, you know, with one of the Flyers players in our game got postponed, I was actually going to hit on the note that Alex Ovechkin, oh, my goodness, Jake, he looked spectacular last game. And, I mean, it wasn't his fault that, you know, Vitek Vanacek really couldn't save much. The goaltending has been the weakest part of the Washington Capitals this year. It's like,
yeah, Caps have needed to score like a minimum of like five goals every game.
It's like you have to cover the spread in order to win the game, but it's like you can't give up that many goals and, you know, go up by three goals and then let in four, or go up by three again and then let up another, you know, five goals and you lose the game, and then you're hanging your head after you've given up, you know, so much momentum at the it's like the ice tilts for the Capitals in like the third period or throughout periods, the ice is just looking tilted. So I think that is something that's going to have to be hit upon. And then, you know, with King Henrik not being able to play this year, so it kind of threw things off, but I still love my pick though. I still think the Caps have the potential to make it up to the Boston Bruins right now, but the Boston Bruins look really good. Not gonna lie, Pasternak is a stud. He was out for the entire majority of the first portion of the season.
Yep.
And he's coming back, and now he's just scoring goals after having hip surgery. I mean, the guy is just phenomenally good. And then, like,
yeah, Pasta's a true difference maker, man. And he can make people look silly out there, too.
He really can. It's like he dangles, and then he has a wicked wrist shot. It's very, very quick, especially on a power play. He's so dangerous. And then you still have Patrice Bergeron. You have Brad Marchand. They're still stacked. They still have a good core forwards who in the first, the first two lines are just stacked with great talented players, and also on the back ends too.
That it's very true. And it's like, this just goes hand in hand with what you've been saying. Washington does have three of the top 30 scorers so far in the season. Tom Wilson sits at number 30. Ovechkin's 34, actually. So that's my bad. So they have three guys in the top 34. Ovechkin's at 34. Wilson's at 30. And then you've got you've got Backstrom sitting all the way up at number six.
But
the way down towards the bottom of the league. They got like the 25th worst goaltending.
Bro, I'm telling you, I've been watching every game. That is the weakness of the Washington Capitals right now. You get pucks to the net, you know, you get stuck, you keep the puck in deep. That's what teams are doing right now, and it just so happens that they score a lot of goals after you keep the puck in the offensive zone for so long. You know how that goes. Defensemen get tired. You keep a line out there for extended amounts of time on the ice. I mean, what do you think is going to happen? They're going to score a lot of goals when you put pressure out there. And then, of course, you have a young goalie in Vitek Vanacek. You're giving him multiple games against the same team that he's just played, you know, with everything being back-to-back now with the games and stuff of that nature for COVID and stuff. Those things are going to happen. You're going to have a 44 to 45 goal differential minus one. And that is something that, like you said, it has to improve for them to make a jump for the Boston Bruins to come.
Yeah, and the Bruins, you know, they've been leaning heavily on their goaltending, but like you already mentioned a few names. It's like they can get offense going as well when they need it. And the Bruins have always been a team where it's like they just keep getting better throughout the duration of the season. So, like, when the Bruins start off good, it's never a good thing because you know they're going to get good on the back end of the season too. Bruins are a real, real threat in this division, but I think the Capitals, Flyers, and Bruins should all make the playoffs. I think the Capitals, this little three-game run or a three-game losing streak is going to be kind of out of the ordinary because they are good on offense and they are a good team overall. They just need to shore up that goaltending. And I don't know if maybe you make a trade. I don't know if you just need to pound it into the head of these young guys that, like, hey, this team is depending on you. And you need to play better. I really don't know what the ultimate answer is here, but just too bad that King Henrik had to have surgery and that you don't even have his presence around, let alone be able to give him an opportunity to play well for this team. I mean, all they need is King Henrik to be his typical normal self, make, you know, 90% of the saves, and this team's sitting pretty. But, you know, they
didn't again, get that chance right now. Again, you got to remember that also we do have Samsonov. He's very good. He just hasn't had the chance to play any games because he's been on COVID restriction. Right. So, right. I mean, it's not the necessarily need of trading for a goalie. And it just comes to the play of, like you said, like if we had a King Henrik on the bench giving that veteran presence, or we did go out and sign a veteran in Craig Anderson. So, you know, giving him some time to actually settle in with the goalie team and hopefully they can figure something out, because a minus one differential in goals is not going to get you to the Stanley Cup playoffs, and it's just not going to be anything for success.
Yeah, and, you know, even more importantly than that goal differential is the fact they've given up 45 goals already. And, I mean, you compare that to some other teams in their division – the Devils have given up 26 goals. The Bruins, as I mentioned, have given up 24 goals. The Islanders have given up 27 goals. And then you look at the Capitals, they've given up 45 goals. I mean, I don't care how good your offense is, that's going to be very, very, very hard to overcome. So that's probably the number one thing to keep an eye on as a Capitals fan, I would think, is, you know, you don't have to worry about really anything as far on the offensive side of the puck, because when you look at goals for – it's like they've scored 44 goals. And when you compare that to the other teams in the division, you know, the Islanders have only scored 25 goals. The Penguins have only scored 33 goals. The Devils have only scored 23 goals. So, like, the Capitals are getting it done on the offensive side. They're just brutal on the defensive side. So it's like they got the highest number in both these categories, which is not necessarily what you want.
Hey, great point, Jake. Great point on hitting on that, because it just so happens that the Washington Capitals have the most players who have scored on the team. Like, I think they have like 11 or 12 players who've scored a goal so far on the team. So
it's
like you're getting the goal distribution out, but now you have to, you know, put a little bit of pressure on either more so on offense, or once you get the lead, play a little bit more conservative. So I think that Peter Roy has to Oh, I think that's his name. I hope that's his name. I hope I'm not messing that up. But yeah, he has to definitely get this locker room in conjunction, knowing that they have to focus on that point of view.
Yeah, that is that's a tough name. Obviously, it looks like a French Canadian name, I would guess, or a French name in general. It's Laviolette. I honestly couldn't. I think the way you're saying it is the way I've heard it. I've never actually said it out loud myself, just being told. But we're gonna roll with it. Hey, you're the Caps fan though, so you should probably figure that one out, huh?
Yeah, I'm definitely keep it out. I'm definitely figure that out. You gotta cut that. I'm gonna definitely figure that out.
All right. It's all a learning process, my friend. It's all a learning process. The only final thoughts I have here, on this division, is that the Flyers just haven't been as dominant as I thought they would be. You know, 8-3-2, nothing you can really complain about. But again, only a 5-goal differential. They've also given up 41 goals. So it's like they're not sitting much prettier than the Capitals. And obviously Carter Hart was my pick for the Vezina this year, or one of my three picks for the Vezina. unless things dramatically change, that is not going to happen. They've scored 46 goals on the season, which is the most in the division. Capitals are a close second, or otherwise it's the most – pretty much by a good margin. The next closest outside of the Capitals would be 36 by the Bruins. So Flyers are, you know, have 10 more goals than that. But they've also given up 41 goals for just a 5-goal differential. So Flyers, I think though, the Flyers are sitting in a better position than the Capitals as far as goaltending, because we know how good Carter Hart is. We know he's a young, extremely talented goaltender. And then you've got that veteran presence in Brian Elliott, who has been to the Stanley Cup before. He has, you know, strung together numerous shutouts before for different franchises. He's done it before, and we've seen him step in and have success. So as a Flyers, you know, supporter this year, I would be a little bit less worried about their goaltending than I would be if I was a Capitals fan like you. But both of these teams are just not going to be able to contend with the Bruins when it gets down to the nitty gritty if these trends continue. I mean, Bruins goaltending has just been far superior so far.
I totally agree with you, and it would definitely shake up things. But I think that, like you said, the Philadelphia Flyers are really good. Sean Couturier, you still have Claude Giroux. They have a lot of great young players who are out there, and they're playing stout. And Carter Hart will be better, I think, as the year progresses. The same with Vitek Vanacek for the Capitals, though. I think that, you know, getting all of this load right now with Samsonov not being there. And also, you know, when Craig Anderson wasn't with the team, he was just playing the past, like, couple of games. I think he got fatigue. As a goalie, you know how it is, getting 40 shots on you at one time in a game, and then coming back the next game and then getting another 45 shots or a high total of shots. You know, you're getting the experience of being in net, but it's still the NHL and you're still learning as a rookie.
Well, and with Anderson, you know, he's getting older. He hasn't been in a totally starting role for a few seasons now. So, you got that. You got those things to consider as well. But the rest of this division, pretty much all clumped together. Islanders 5-4-2, Penguins 5-5-1. Devils 4-3-2, Sabres 4-4-2, had a hiccup there. There's another one. Rangers 4-5-2 as well. They've all got minus goal differentials on the season. So actually there's only two teams within this division that even have positive goal differentials in the Flyers and Bruins. Bruins take on the New York Rangers tonight. So the top and bottom of the division squaring off. I have a massive bet on the Bruins money line. I also put about a fourth of a unit on the Bruins in regulation. So I'm hoping to win that one rather easily tonight. Of course, just a 2-game slate tonight, the Maple Leafs and Canadiens and the Bruins and Rangers. Not quite sure if this is going to air before that Boston game kicks off, because that's less than 3.5 hours away, but just throwing it out there that that's my big of the night. none of the other teams really warrant us talking a lot about them right now until they start making some moves. I think it's really only the Bruins, Capitals, and Flyers right now that are looking to make some noise out of this newly named Mass Mutual East Division. Moving on now to the West Division, which, of course, this season is dubbed the Honda NHL West Division. This one has been stifled a bit by the by COVID protocols. I feel like we haven't seen the Avalanche play in weeks, even though I know it's not been that long. I just feel like they haven't been on the ice in forever. The Golden Knights sit atop the standings, but they had their own run-ins with COVID as well. They've only played 10 games on the season, 8 wins, 1 loss, 1 overtime loss, goal differential of 11 for them. The Blues are sitting at an even 0 goal differential with a 7-4-2 record. The Blues with a couple disappointing losses against teams that they just should have beaten, flat out should have beaten these last couple days. Taking a look at that right now, they are on a 3-game losing streak. They lost in a shootout to the Coyotes and then had 2 games postponed against the Wild. They had 2 games postponed against the Avalanche before that. So they actually ended up playing the Coyotes 4 games in a row, and they lost the last 3 out of those 4. They only won the one game that they did win. They only won 4-3. So the Coyotes have been playing them very, very tough. And almost half the games that these two teams have played have been against each other. And speaking of the Coyotes, they're sitting in 4th place in the division with a 6-5-1 record and a +1 goal differential. The Ducks, despite some, great play out of John Gibson, he's had really nice numbers all season. They've got a -10 goal differential. They're struggling on the offensive side of the puck. The Wild, the Sharks, and the Kings, not really positioned to do too much as of now. Neither are the Ducks, but I wanted to mention them because give a shout out to John Gibson because he's been good. So right now, outside of the Golden Knights, who I think are just going to continue to keep first place under wraps throughout the majority of this season, I think that they're proving that they are far and away the best team. I think they've got the best goaltending. I think they've got the best coaching. So I think it's between the Blues, the Avalanche, and the Coyotes to really make some noise and make a run in this division. Outside of the Knights, Malik, what have you seen out of those 3 teams, the Blues, the Avalanche, and the Coyotes? What are you liking? What do you think needs to be worked on? Avalanche have a +14 goal differential, so they got that going for them. But what do you make of this West Division?
Yeah, I really like the Vegas Golden Knights. They just continue to be great. As you alluded to with COVID, I think that that is impacting things, just the momentum of teams and how they want to, go up against certain players and stuff like that, speaking of lines. But I think that the Colorado Avalanche, when they do come back, and they start to play more games, I think that they're going to get and hit the ground running. I think that they're going to come up and give Vegas a run for their money in terms of maybe taking on the helm of winning on the Honda West Division. I've always been a big Avs supporter, especially when you have Nathan McKinnon. I think that he's a stud. And you got Landeskog, got a whole bunch of people who are really good.
Kale McCarr.
Yeah.
Absolute stud.
Pretty dope for the Colorado Avalanche.
Well, and we haven't seen the Avalanche and the Golden Knights play a single time this season. They've got a 4-game series coming up February 14th. So there you go. There's a for all you guys listening out there, there's a good way to start your Valentine or to end your Valentine's Day is with the start of a 4-game series between the Golden Knights and the Avalanche. They play each other 4 times between the 14th and the 22nd of this month. 2 of them at home for the Avalanche, 2 of them at home for Las Vegas. I'm pumped for that string of 4 games, man. I'm going to be glued to the TV for all 4.
And for me, I think with Philip Grubauer, he's really good. He's a Stanley Cup winner. He was under the Capitals, Braden Hobey, when we won it. He's really good. He already has 7 wins already this season. Again,
93.4 save percentage and a 1.67 goals against. I believe those are both the best in the NHL right now.
Yeah, Grubby is doing his thing down there. I think that they're going to just continue to push forward. And as you said, a four-game standoff between both teams, this is for the fight for first. And if the Blues, if they can, you know, hang on to that second spot, then that, like you said, those three teams are really the only competition for real in this Honda West division.
So, looks like Andre Vasilevskiy has a better save percentage by 0.02 of a point. So, Vasilevskiy has 0.936 save percentage on the season. Philip Grubauer is 0.934. But Grubauer is the second, you know, has the second best save percentage on the season. And he does indeed have the best goals against average, which is just as important. You know, if you know anything about, like, save percentage can kind of be skewed one way or the other, depending on how many shots on average a goalie sees. You know, if a goalie's only seeing 20 to 22 shots on average and he lets one or two in, his save percentage going to be affected a lot more heavily than a goalie who sees 40 shots a game and lets two in, even though their goals against average is going to be very, very similar. So you always got to look at those two stats together. Philip Grubauer is basically the best in the NHL in both those categories. And he's actually significantly better than Freddie Anderson, who has the third best save percentage in the league. But he's got a 2.65 goals against. Philip Grubauer has a 1.67. Outside of Andre Vasilevskiy, nobody's even touching that. Nobody's anywhere close to that. So Grubauer, who was also, if you remember back to my our intro episode, he was one of my three picks for the Vezina Trophy. And I think he was like plus 2,500. So 25-1 odds for Philip Grubauer. And he's looking really, really, really good so far.
He's 15-1 now. I'm checking right now. Samsonov is also 15-1.
So Grubauer is still worth, I mean, 15-1, that's still a great payout. But, I mean, that shows you how good he's been in the early going here, that he's come down. You know, he was 25-1, and now he's 15-1. So Vegas has given him a lot of respect. He's also got two shutouts on the season, and he's also got an assist on the season. So, you know, he's getting it done all the way across the board.
Yeah, and then at the top, you got Vasilevskiy at plus 650 for the Vezina.
Yeah, and that's pretty much where he started the season, and I think he's pretty much going to be there until maybe the halfway point of the season, and then he might even come down to, like, less than 5-1 odds. I mean, Grubauer right now at 15-1, I'll tell you that. Like, lock him in as a future. That's incredibly good value for a goalie.
Yeah, I think I'm going to put 100 up on him.
You're going to put 100 on him?
Yeah.
I like that. I like that. I like that a lot. So, if Grubauer would come through with a $1,500 payday for you there. I was thinking about putting, you know, maybe 25 or 50 bucks on him, but I like that. Balls to the wall, there's 100. I've already got money on him, though, at 25-1, so you got to remember that, too. I think I have 20
bucks. Oh, so you got in on it.
I did. I took my three live bullet Vezina Trophy winners this year were Philip Grubauer at 25-1, Tuukka Rask at, I believe, like 22 or 25-1, somewhere in that area as well. And then I took Carter Hart at like 12-1. I didn't put any money on Vasilevskiy because I figured, you know, you're not going to lose that much value. I mean, Vasilevskiy started as like a 7-1 somewhere in there. Now he's like 6.25-1. If we get further on in the season and he becomes like 4-1, 5-1, I might throw some money on him. But you're not losing a ton of value. Whereas a guy like Philip Grubauer, you know, just 3 weeks into the season, he's already gone from 25-1 to 15-1. So that's why I hit those longer shots earlier. But you can always hedge later on.
Got Anton Khudobin as well, 15-1. Brandon Hopi, 15-1. Yeah.
Andre Fleury is sitting with a 5-0 record. 1.81 goals against, 92% save percentage. What's he sitting at right now?
Let's see.
He's probably further down the board because he splits time. So it'd be a lot harder for him to win the award.
Andre Fleury, he's down. Let's see.
Like, yeah, he's probably a ways down the board.
Let's see, Ogmark, Andre Fleury.
Do they even have him listed? They should.
No. Yeah, he's not on there.
Interesting. I'm bringing up NHL.
I'm also on sports betting, Don.
Oh, so you're not on the actual book? I'm not seeing. They actually don't even have. I'm on DraftKings right now, and they don't even have the Vezina Trophy odds up right now. So we'll check on that at some other point. But I mean, just throwing that out there too. That Marc-Andre Fleury sitting there with a 0.92 save percentage and a 1.88 goals against. That boy pretty, man. What do you think Robin Leonard has on the season? We got to scroll. Oh, look at that. 31st. He's ranked 31st. Marc-Andre Fleury is ranked 9th. Robin Leonard has a 0.89 save percentage and a 2.96 goals against. Dude, I love this. Marc-Andre Fleury is just wiping the floor with Robin Leonard so far this year. Leonard's got a 3-1 record, so still pretty good, but that's because his team is good. And Marc-Andre Fleury's got a 5-0 record. Oh, man. The stupidest thing. They did the stupidest thing, bring in Leonard and pay him that much money. Just so dumb. Marc-Andre Fleury is the only man you need. And Fleury's got a shutout on the season. Varlamov has 3 shutouts on the season. Wow.
Varlamov, that's my boy.
But anyway, we're getting lost in the numbers here talking about goalies. Let's get back to it. Basically,
what? Scotia North, all right?
Yeah, I think we're done talking about the West Division. You know, basically, like we said, Golden Knights kind of control it. Avalanche should make a push. And make sure you catch those games coming up, starting on the 14th between those two teams. They're going to be epic. Those are going to be good games. The Coyotes are much like the Panthers to me in my book right now. They're just going to have to keep playing good hockey, and they're going to have to prove it pretty much all season long, because last year I bought into both those teams. I put futures on both of them to make the playoffs, and neither one of them did. So
they sold you.
They did. They did, my friend. All right, let's wrap things up with the North Division, which is personally been my favorite division to watch and bet on so far this season. And this one is the Scotiabank, Scotia NHL North Division, being led right now by the Maple Leafs, who are just dominating people. They are on a 3-game win streak, just took it to the Canucks, who the Canucks started, you know, with a lot of promise this year. And Holtby looked good, all that kind of stuff, and they have just completely fallen off. Canucks are now on a 5-game losing streak. But the Maple Leafs are 10-2-1 this season with a 14-goal differential. The Canadiens, who I alluded to about a half an hour ago, just maybe the best bounce-back team of the year. The Canadiens look great. 8-2-2 record with a 17-goal differential, which is massive for them. The Canadiens were amongst the worst offensive teams in the NHL for years and years and years coming into this season. The Oilers, talk about a team that is being stifled by goaltending. The Oilers have scored 52 goals this season, more than any other team in the NHL by somewhat large margin. The Maple Leafs have scored 48, and the Canadiens have scored 48 as well. But when you look at these other divisions, 52 goals is a lot more than anybody else is scoring. They have a perfect 0-goal differential because they have given up 52 goals as well. The Oilers could win the Stanley Cup if they had even a decent goalie, you know? Like, if Robin Leonard went there, you know, the Oilers are potential Stanley Cup champions. But they've scored 52 goals. They've allowed 52 goals. They've got an 8-7-0 record on the season. I think the Oilers are probably my favorite long bet odds right now in the entire NHL. They're like 23-1 still to win the Stanley Cup. And like I said, if they can find the goaltending, and it's the same thing I said for the Capitals, like you either need to shake your young goaltenders and be like, look, you know, we have the two top scorers in the entire NHL in Draisaitl and Connor McDavid. McDavid is just blowing everybody away. He's got like 27 points on the season already. I'm looking at it right now. 27 points. Draisaitl has 25. And the next closest is Mitch Marner at 21. And then it drops down to 18. So these guys are just like significantly ahead of the competition. But their goaltenders just continue to let them down. I mean, you can't score 52 goals, you know, 15 games into the season and have a 0-goal differential. That's just brutal. That's horrible. That's very, very bad.
That's ridiculous how many, how bad that is. I definitely agree with the Edmonton Oilers, though. Like, I love them as the pick of winning their division. I did go with the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're looking really good. Of course, having my favorite boy coming out, scoring 4 goals in his first career game, Austin Matthews. He's playing phenomenally. And I really just think that, you know, if it wasn't for Austin Matthews, Connor McDavid might be the lead for taking home a Maurice Richard Trophy. I was actually just looking at his stats to see what the differential was, and it's only +2. Austin Matthews has 11, and McDavid has 9 goals.
Yep, as you and Draisaitl is right there with 8 goals.
Yeah, and it's just crazy that, you know, both of these guys, I mean, they're just playing out of its world. They're playing out of their minds. And this is the second season that they both have been playing like this. So to your point, if you can get a goalie, just a decent goalie, Jake, like you said, a decent goalie.
That's all you need is a decent goalie.
Just stop a few ones that are not supposed to deflect in. Then you're talking about a team that can go very far. Because Connor McDavid, if not the best player right now in the league in terms of, you know, longevity and the way that his career is going, I mean, why not bet on them? And you said, what were the odds? You said 27 or 25?
It's come down. It's like 20, it's like 23-1 odds for them to win the cup now. But at just last week when I tweeted it out, it was at 27-1.
Yeah, but they're also a fun team to watch. I've actually been tuning into their games because I'm very, very intrigued to see Connor McDavid just absolutely outfly everybody on the ice. It's like everybody's in slow motion when he's out there with the puck on his stick. And then he just dangles through every single defender, toe drag here, and then he can either pass it over to whoever is on the wing, because he basically outraces everybody, or literally deke out the goalie and tap it in for an easy goal. Like, he is that good. So I just think that this Edmonton Oilers team is somebody to look out for. And as you talked about earlier with the Vancouver Canucks, man, oh, man, oh, man, what is going on with these guys? I mean, they kind of just, like, flailed out these past couple of 5 games, man, going on a 5-game losing streak. But, again, I haven't really spoken on the Montreal Canadiens, but they're also in the mix. They're playing really good this year. Like you said, maybe Detroit needs to get a little bit more some tips from them. But, again, I think that is between those three who are at the top. It's kind of like most of these divisions. The top three teams are pretty much going to be the teams who are going to be in the loop when it comes to going into the 2021 Stanley Cup playoffs. I think that that's going to be, you know, the teams that we need to focus in on. And, of course, we're going to continue to talk about it on the show.
Yeah, I think you're right, man. I think, like, the teams that we're seeing, you know, outside of maybe the Avalanche yet, who haven't really had an opportunity to push, but I think the teams that we're seeing at the top are the teams that are going to remain at the top. I just don't see any of these lower teams in the division making a push, especially in this short season. So I think we've already kind of, like, got not necessarily the perfect playoff picture yet, but I think we've got a very good idea as to who we're going to be seeing later on in this season. And, you know, the Canucks have just been wildly streaky. They beat the Oilers in the first game of the season. Then they go on and lose 3 in a row. And then they win, and then they lose 3 in a row. And then they lose 4 in a row, and then they lose 4 in a row. It's just like at least there's consistency there, you know? When they're winning, they're winning. When they're losing, they're losing.
They're losing, it's bad, yeah.
I don't think the Canucks are really going to make any sort of noise this season. I think that the top teams in this division are just simply too good. Maple Leafs, Canadiens, Oilers. And I'm really pulling for the Oilers, man. I mean, they've been bad for a long time. Not as bad as Buffalo, who's been the worst for the longest time. But they've been bad for a long time. They've got a lot of just absolute stars on their team who deserve a good run in the playoffs. And they probably will have back-to-back MVPs. I mean, right now, you can look at the scoring for, you know, Austin Matthews and what he's providing. But when you look at overall points, I mean, Austin Matthews, 11 goals, but he's only got 4 assists. You look at Connor McDavid, 9 goals, he's got 18 assists, bro. Leon Draisaitl, 8 goals, 17 assists, dude, 17 assists. And Connor McDavid has a minus 1 plus minus on the season. Draisaitl has a plus 11, which is by far, I'm scrolling here, Ehlers from Winnipeg has a plus 10. Petrie has a plus 14. So there's, you know, players further down the list. But as far as guys that have a legitimate chance to win the MVP, the Hart Memorial, I mean, Draisaitl is plus 11 on the season. He's got 9 power play points. Connor McDavid has 11 power play points.
Dang.
They're averaging 1.8 and 1.67 points per game. So it's just like they're just completely dominating. So the Oilers are just being hindered right now by bad goaltending. And I honestly think if they had even a Robin Leonard or, say, Braden Holtby went there, or, like, anybody that can just provide you with a 2.5 or less goals against average, they are maybe the most threatening team in the entire NHL. But right now, they're just not, because when you look at their offensive compared to their defensive stats, their offensive stats here, they are 7th in goals scored, 3.47 per game, 14th in shots on goal, over 30 per game, 11th in power play success, 8th in shooting percentage. So, like, they're towards the top of the league in all offensive categories. And then you go to their defensive categories. They're 25th in goals allowed at the exact same 3.47, which is where you get that 0 goals against. They're 27th in shots on goals allowed. They are they are 14th in faceoff efficiency. So that's, like, right in the middle of the league. So it's like, you know, you just look at these defensive stats and you compare them to the offensive stats, and it's like, oh, top 10 in the league on offense and everything, bottom 5 or 6 in the league on defense and everything. That's not going to be a recipe for success when it comes time for the playoffs. So, I don't know. Maybe it's the Oilers who need to make a trade.
Absolutely. You said about the Cavs getting it. They're definitely – I'd say both of them are the for sure picks that you could go with in terms of winning the Stanley Cup or making a run for it. They're literally just a piece away, because you have the talent, the offensive – expertise of your two players who have been playing consistently for the past, like, 3 seasons, very, very high, very, 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 very high. I mean, plus 12 in points over the next person. And McDavid does this on numerous occasions. It's just something that's a generational talent, and you have to make sure that they, you know, don't let their careers just slip away. You know, they give him the help that he needs. Alluding to back what I said earlier with Russell Wilson, it's like you can't just waste these guys' careers because their greatness is, you know, it doesn't just come out of the nick of the air.
And you can run into a lightning situation where you have all these guys, but then just because of circumstances or injuries or whatever, they're not all able to play together. And right now, the two top scorers in the league playing together, they're healthy. Like, you need to get them a good goalie. Like, they need a good goalie.
Yeah. So whatever Edmonton can do to do that, I think that, to your point, Jake, they can make a run. They can definitely make a run. And they're only they're at 16 points right now. They're 5 points away from Toronto. And Toronto is on a 3-game winning streak. I think Toronto is going to keep up what they're doing. But if they can, you know, get those 2 points back from Montreal and then swap, and then, you know, Montreal dropped to 3 and they dropped to 2. I mean, excuse me, and then they go up to 2, then boom, you're there. You're in the thick of it. And then, you know, if you can get that differential from maybe a 0 to a plus 6 where Winnipeg is, then, you know, you can grab something that's, you know, going for yourself.
Yeah, you have to improve that goal differential, dude. You absolutely have to. And the one final thing that's kind of crazy is the Oilers have only been to overtime 1 time all season. They ended up pulling out the win against the Maple Leafs just a few games ago, or about 2 weeks ago at this point, or a week and a half ago. But you look at how many overtime games and shootout games have been there have been already in this season. And even on a short season, it seems like we're on pace to like break the record for overtime games and shootout games. I mean, if you look at the San Jose Sharks, their last three games have gone to a shootout. Their last three games have gone to a shootout. And then you look at the Oilers, they've only been to overtime one time all season. So that's kind of where those points come into play. That's where that zero goal differential comes into play. And it's just strange. You would think with a zero goal differential, they're going to overtime all the time, right? But it's either they're winning by a bunch of goals or they're losing by a bunch of goals, you know? You know, like you look through their wins and losses, it's like, here's a win 5-2. Then there's a loss 5-1. Then there's a win 3-1. Then there's a loss 3-1. Then there's a win 4-2. Then there's a loss 4-2. It's like, it's so dead even every time. And then they beat the Senators 8-5 the other night. So it's like they're making up ground here, but then they lose a game by 4 or 5 goals because their goaltending is so bad. So,
yeah,
it's frustrating, man. You score 52 goals. Even if you're – I think the league average right now of goals given up is somewhere between 30 and 32. So if they were at that league average, they would have a plus 20 goals differential right now. Plus 20. That's
right behind Tampa Bay.
Yeah, dude, exactly. You're talking Tampa Bay status. Instead, you are a dead even zero. So I'd be very frustrated if I was the Oilers. I'd be, you know, campaigning for a new set of pads between the pipes. But, yeah, anyway, things are looking up for the Oilers. And then the Senators, last thoughts here. The Senators are kind of the exact team that the Lightning are, just on the opposite end of the spectrum. You can pretty much just bet them to win in regulation every single game this season. You're going to come out ahead at the end of the season. Senators, just bet against them every single game. You're going to come out ahead. I love betting against the Senators this season. They are 2-11-1. They have a minus 27 goal differential. They're on a 3-game losing streak, and they have lost 9 out of their last 10. So, you know, as much as I preach bet on the Lightning, I'm preaching just as much bet against the Senators. So there you go. That is an entire look at where every team is sitting right now in the NHL. And as we always do, Malik, we are seeming to run long already. But, hey, you know, when we get talking hockey, dude, we can just – I mean, we could do a 4-hour podcast probably and not even blink. So – let's finish up here with our Tendy of the Week, and then I will let the listeners know what our new segment is going to be starting next week, and then we can wrap up things here. My Tendy of the Week, pretty easy for me so far, or pretty easy for me this week. We are going to start putting out the polls as well. I'm going to talk to Tony and see if Shooting the Sports-ish at Twitter page to put it out, or otherwise Malik and I will just put them out. I'm going to take the win last week, I think, just because, you know, your guy, you submitted him and then he ended up, you know, having a pretty bad week after that. So I'm going to take the win for Backstrom last week. And this week I'm going to go with Freddie Anderson. He's seen a lot of pucks and has made a lot of saves in his last bunch of games. He did give up 3 goals and 4 goals to Edmonton and Vancouver, but his last 2 games, he made a total of 60 saves while allowing just 2 goals. That's good for over 96% save percentage on both of those games. And then if you exclude the 3 and 4 goal games before that, you're looking at a couple more 90% save percentage games. And he's also got a shutout stuffed in there as well. So Freddie Anderson right now on the goaltender for the 10-2-1 Maple Leafs, my candidate for Tendy of the Week this week.
Okay. I'm going to go with for my Tendy of the Week. I've been thinking about this one. I'm going to go with Carey Price of the Montreal Canadiens.
I like that pick a lot.
I think that he has a lot of upside, and give me a second real quick, Jake, as I pull up his stats real quick, because I just saw something that was interesting to me, especially with the Canadians playing so well.
I can tell you he has a .864 save percentage on the season. With a let's see. I had him pulled up right here. Well, you can go ahead. You can go ahead. I know for sure he's got that point. What did okay. I say? 0.98.
So he has four wins, one loss. He has 198 saves, 2.81 goals against average, and he has an 8.99 save percentage. Yep. So I'm thinking that he's going to continue to get more starts, but being 4-1, yeah, he's allowing in 3 goals a game, but the team is getting wins. So as long as he's playing a decent role, playing Carey Price-esque, being best, then I'm going with him. I think he's going to be a good pick for this week, and it's going to be tough going up against these stout players, and he's playing facing off against Toronto. Then he's facing off against Edmonton. Then you got Toronto and Toronto again. So, but then you go to your other picks of Ottawa in the
yep.
later portion of the week. So,
yeah, dude. Yeah. I mean, this is the perfect time this week. Like you just said, 3 matchups with the Maple Leafs and the Oilers, high power yep. offensive teams. This is the time to cement yourself as the tendy of the week. You know, they need him. They need him to be huge these next 4 games. I'm actually betting on the Canadiens tonight against the Maple Leafs. So I'm right there with you, dude. Big Carey Price fan.
Of course, of course. You can't go against.
He's actually only allowed 20 goals on the season as well. And you can compare that to almost any name you want, and that's pretty darn good. 20 goals against, Korpisalo has allowed 27, Kemper 25, Gibson 25, Martin Jones 24, Carter Hart 30, Vanacek 31. Koskinen, who we just talked about at length, he's the Oilers goaltender. He's allowed 44 on the season, which is just Binnington has allowed 26. Markstrom has allowed 25. Anderson has allowed 29.
What about Vanacek?
I thought I just read. Yeah, he's allowed 31 on the season.
Oh, sorry, I didn't. Sorry.
Oh, that no, it's I might not have read his. I can't remember or not. So yeah, I mean. You pick any big name goalie in the league, basically outside of Vasilevskiy or Grubauer, and Carey Price has allowed less goals total than pretty much any of them. So I like that pick.
Respectfully, sir.
So that is Tendy of the Week right there. We got Freddie Anderson versus
Carey Price.
Thank you. Yes, Carey Price. I was looking right now. They actually are squaring off tonight. So that's a little serendipity right there that our attendees of the week are facing each other tonight. To Montreal. So that should be a good game. Maybe all those you guys out there, you can watch that game back and vote for your attendee of the week based on who you like better in this game. That's an idea. And so that's Tendy of the Week, and we are going to be doing a new segment as well. Still developing a bunch of segments, still a lot of things in development for this particular NHL podcast here. I'm still building the open, still building the intros to all of these different segments. That stuff takes a lot of time, just to be completely honest. It takes a lot of creativity and thought, but it also takes a lot of time to actually go through the process, find the highlights, find the music, build it all together. But very, very soon we will have production value here added to the Shooting the Sports Ish NHL podcast. And we're going to come up with a name too at some point too. We promise you. But this segment was actually Malik's idea. I don't know what we're going to call it yet, much like, the rest of our podcast here. We're not quite sure what we're going to call it yet, but we're basically each going to pick a player. And again, since Malik wants to learn a little bit more about the gambling side of things, and I love, having a gambling aspect, we're going to set our own lines. We're each going to pick a player, and then we're going to set a line for total points. So let's say this week I pick Tyler Toffoli and Alex Ovechkin is Malik's pick. We're going to say, okay, over the next 5 games, Ovechkin has more or less than 5 points. And then it'll be on me. And I'm going to say, okay, I think Ovechkin, he's got a tough streak coming up. I think he's going to go under the 5 points. And then I'll come back with Tyler Toffoli over or under 3.5 goals. It doesn't just necessarily have to be points. It can be kind of whatever line we set. So I'm going to say, okay, Tyler Toffoli over the next 5 games, over under 3.5 goals. And Malik goes, oh, well, he's on a hot streak, so I'm definitely taking the over. Like, all right, so we'll come back next week, and we'll see if Malik was right. We'll see if I was right. We'll see if we were both right, both wrong, and we're just going to keep overall records throughout the season. So that's kind of how this new segment is going to work. We're each just going to pick a player. We're going to create a line, and then the other person's going to bet on that line, and we're going to keep a whole season total. Maybe Malik, at the end of the season, whoever wins or loses this can either get a reward or a punishment of some sort.
Absolutely, I'm down. And we'll figure that out, too, as we progress with the name.
And yeah, for sure. And we'll always take suggestions, punishment suggestions, prizes for the winner, whatever. You can tweet them at us at Shooting Sports Ish if you want to get a hold of the website. Otherwise, I am at Senholes on Sport. Malik is at Sports by Malik. And excited to announce as well, hey, if you like us here, make sure you're checking out everything else on the Shooting the Sports-ish channel, on our website, on our platform. We have so many good podcasts and so many great employees. So check out everybody's podcasts and everybody's work beyond just our NHL podcast. I know Tony is excited to be bringing back Smark to Death, which is the wrestling podcast, which originally made him, I guess you could say, internet famous. He grew it to tens of thousands of subscribers on YouTube, I believe, tons and tons of views. He has a lot of recognition within the world of wrestling and just the world of sports in general. And before he started Shooting the Sports-ish, he was the Smark to Death podcast. And I believe he has been on a Smark to Death hiatus for 10 or 12 months, but he is bringing that back. So I'm excited to have that back on the network here. I know Tony's excited to bring it back, and I encourage all of you to check that out along with every other podcast here on the Shooting the Sports feed. So other than that, I think that's pretty much it. Good conversation today with you, Malik. I know there's always more that you and I could talk about, but again, trying to keep these at least semi-reasonable as far as time. So hopefully all of you enjoyed this episode. If there's anything that you want us to touch on, talk more about, talk less about, hey, maybe if you're if you're a fan of a team that's kind of obscure or kind of not been that great this season, excuse me, but you want us to talk about them more, definitely let us know. I mean, we're willing to talk about any one of these teams, give analysis on any team. It just right now makes the most sense to talk about the teams that are the most relevant, right? So if you're a San Jose Sharks fan or an LA Kings fan or Nashville Predators fan, some team like that that you want us to highlight, make sure you're letting us know on Twitter or in the comments on the podcast, however you want to get a hold of us. But Twitter is probably the best way. Again, I am at Senholes on Sport. Malik is at Sports by Malik. And you can check out Tony at Tony on Sports as well. Malik, was a pleasure this week, my friend. I leave the floor open to you for any final thoughts before we sign off here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, Valentine's Day is coming up. Shout out to Kayla. I just wanted to put that out there for the listeners out there. Shout out to my girl Kayla. And I also wanted to say shout out to the Washington Capitals. We're coming, Jake. Alex Ovechkin is back. He's looking great. He's looking like he wants to make sure that people haven't forgot who he is. So just be on the lookout for the Washington Capitals. A little bit of biasty coming out there. But, hey, I'm up for it. And also follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Sports by Malik. Jake has already said it, but I just wanted to re-exert that. And if you're on Clubhouse, follow me on there at Sports by Malik as well.
That's right.
You know, we have a club hockey culture fan club on there. Well, it's not a fan club, excuse me. It's a clubhouse room where we talk about culture and diversity and just all of that good stuff. So I'll be on this there this Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern time, I believe. So he's went up an hour, Paul. So tune in, Anson Carter. We have a different lobby, you know, different people who are in the networking portion of the NHL on the board and different places. So give it a tune in, and it's a great opportunity to network and just, you know, really get the mission of getting things changed for hockey for the betterment of the sport.
Yeah, I've only been able to attend one of those meetings just because I work pretty much every Friday, but I really liked the one that I was able to attend. I want to be able to participate in more and hopefully become one of the like moderators and stuff, be able to actually participate quite a bit. But I think you told me about Clubhouse maybe going on 2 months ago at this point. And Clubhouse within the last few weeks, I'm sure those of you out there have seen it blowing up on Twitter and different things like that. I mean, Clubhouse is really starting to become a popular platform.
Absolutely. And it's a great platform because it's official people who are doing what you love to do. And then it's rooms, you know, it's just your voice. It's kind of like Zoom without the voice. I mean, literally without you needing to look into a camera and be on video.
Right.
And it's just great. It's a great networking term. I mean, tool to, you know, get your thoughts out there to people who are interested in things that you are interested in. So it's a great way to, you know, maneuver through this world, I think, for the years to come.
Very, very, very true. All right. I think that's going to wrap everything up for us. Check out the Clubhouse. Check us out on Twitter. Keep supporting the podcast. We appreciate you all very much. Don't forget you can get 75% off of select items over at podgo.co/NBA. For Malik, I am Jake Senholz. This is the NHL pod on Shooting the Sports-ish, episode 3. We'll be back hopefully within a couple of days here. Again, I said right off the top, we're going to try and make these shorter episodes. We failed once again, but I don't know. Who knows? Next time, maybe we'll come back and actually keep it to 45 minutes for you. If not, oh well, you know, longer podcasts are better podcasts in my opinion. Anyway, that's it for us this evening. Enjoy hockey the rest of this weekend, and we will talk to you next week. This has been the Shooting the Sports-ish NHL pod featuring Jake Senholz and Malik Jackson. Have a great one, everybody. Mm-hmm.